everyone. This is Brayden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And today we are continuing our look into the effects of the media culture on our walk with God. And
wanting to go the opposite direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. Something we really have to take into account with everything that we kind of put in front of us. So we're going to be looking into that a bit today. Mm-hmm. And how fascinating it is, life with God, and exciting it is. We're not sitting here trying to promote a life of boring old, you know, just doing
humdrum
the monk thing. Yeah.
Do you mean to tell me that Adam and Eve were not bored in the Garden of Eden?
I know, that's the weirdest thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing to think that that's what the culture is kind of bought into.
Or even a few centuries ago when they didn't have iPhones, people actually had good times still.
Yeah, I know. That's weird. There were fun things to do back
without
then.
Without TV, computers, or anything. There were still, people still enjoyed themselves.
Yeah.
Really, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be looking at, you know, just how exciting life with God is. Man, it's just, if you sell out for just accepting Hollywood's version of excitement, man, you're missing out. You are big time missing out. And so so that's what we want to promote.
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to jump in here too, just so we're getting going. Please pray for us. We've had some bouts of sickness lately. Tally was dealing with an infection yesterday, and just would appreciate prayer. We're wanting to get this message out. It's a countercultural message. I know the devil does not like it. And I would just appreciate prayer if you all can just take some time to pray for us and just pray for direction on how to effectively communicate this message. Our heart is to just see the bride made ready for the king when he comes, because we see in Revelation he's coming for a pure bride. And so that's the heart, that's the passion that we have, is to see that happen and to be just yielded vessels for that purpose. And so please pray for us as we seek to do that.
Yeah, I think the main prayer is just that we would prioritize. We'd know how to prioritize our time. Because this is like usually this time of year we're flying over to Israel and we're working on building projects over there and planting in vineyards and stuff like that. And so, we're just listening to orders, just following what the group's doing. And so we're kind of going into a whole new season here. We have this big base here, this campus that we're trying to keep up with, and it's just a whole new world.
And just throw in there too, if you're out there listening and you would like to volunteer some time, there's some different projects we've got going on here. If you want to contact me at my email address, brayden.waller@gmail.com, then you can just email me. We can see what that would look like. But just, yeah, throwing that out there if you're interested in coming and volunteering some time to work on this property.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So we're ready to jump into the content here?
Yeah, let's go.
And so we're looking at the scriptures, what the scriptures has to say about what our eyes see. This is such an important thing in our spiritual walk, what we look at. So look at Psalm 101. This is a classic scripture on what we look at. David says here, Psalm 101 verse 2, I will behave myself in a perfect way. Wow, that's a powerful statement, a perfect way. People say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, David says, I will behave myself in a perfect way. He had a desire to be perfect before God, to be whole before God. You know, that word can be also translated as whole. He wanted to have a whole heart before God. Oh, when will you come to me? He desired God to come to him. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. There it is again. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I love how he's connecting here, how you walk within your house. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in the world we live, you know, you can be a certain way in your house, but then in a different way when you go to church,
right,
or, you know, when you're out in public. But this is David saying, no, in my house, I want to walk with a perfect heart, and I'm not going to set anything wicked before my eyes. And wow, if that was something that David had to make a confession that he's not going to do that, how much more today when we have just total access to all the wickedness this world wants to produce right in our houses. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make this a confession of faith that we're not going to set wicked things before our eyes, to make that a resolution. Mm-hmm. So I hate the work of those who fall away. David was a radical person.
Yeah.
I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. And this verse has been a great comfort to me in my walk with God, because I've had friends that have fallen away. Yeah, that's just the bottom line. they've fallen away from God. They've chosen a different path. And sometimes when your friends, when your close friends walk away from God, it can want to cling to you. It can want to drag you down. But I love this, what David says, I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. I'm not going to allow that person that fell away from God to pull me down with him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just set my sights back on God and pray for that person, you know, desire their best, but I can't allow that person to drag me down with them.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something you really have to fight for too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and even in the culture too, like the stuff that you're looking at, when you look at the culture and mm-hmm. the falling away of America or whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know, that too, like we can get really depressed and that's all we can dwell on.
Right.
Is just how America's going down the tubes or whatever it is, you know, is that can become the focus of our lives is the falling away. But yeah, this, I love this declaration. It shall not cling to me. Like this is not going to be my driving force. The darkness, the falling away of the world. You know, we're going to cling to the hope, those that are going forward.
Yes. And so
the pure bride,
the truth is we were created to be fascinated. Yeah. So the devil is really just kind of trying to imitate something that was really, you know, that God intended. I mean, God is full of splendor, glory. I mean, the angels and the four living creatures and all these heavenly beings around the throne, they're in no way bored. They are enraptured, and they've been that way for a long time.
Right.
You know, God's beauty, God's glory is totally enrapturing, mm-hmm. and there's nothing boring about it. And so, and God created human beings to be fascinated. He created us with this void in our hearts to mm-hmm. want to be fascinated. Mm-hmm. So the devil's just playing on that desire when he makes up all this counterfeit mm-hmm. Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be aware of that. We were created to be fascinated. If we're not going to be fascinated with the glory and beauty of God, mm-hmm. then we're going to naturally want to be fascinated by something else. Mm-hmm. But we were created. If you're listening out there, you were created to be fascinated by the living God. Uh-huh. And this is something that David tapped into. And so one of my prayers is, God, please reveal to me what it was that so captured David's heart. I want to have that same captured heart. I want to have that fascination with the glory and beauty of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also just want to bring that down to our level here, a human level, because we're thinking about like the heavenly realm is something that it's very hard for us to even comprehend in a lot of ways living down here on this earth. and so, you know, I think of a lot of the Greek influence in Christianity has kind of made everything so far off. And that's where we get the monks and everything like that. Cause it's like
separate from this world.
Yeah. The more you separate from this world, then you can understand why the angels are so enraptured by God, kind of a thing. Like if you just kill your flesh enough here, then you're going to understand heavenly realities where I think that's why so many people get disillusioned. Cause they're just like, man, I don't get that. Like when I pray, when I worship, I don't feel what the angels are feeling. Like it's just a different. And so I must not be getting it. So I'm just going to walk away or something or not even try. And I think that's the biggest lie that has kind of been passed down. Because God knows he built us. He built us as people. He built this world. He created this world. He created us to be engaged in it, to be part of this world. And so I think fascination with God and what he's doing, that it's very tangible. It's mm-hmm. not something that we have to disconnect from the world. Like I'm saying, like what is going on actually in the world tangibly, what he is going to do in your life does not mean you have to just think hard enough and pretend you're floating up in the clouds.
Right.
Like that's not necessarily what this is about.
Right. Well, I'm even thinking of David. You know, he was a shepherd, and then he related his physical experience with working with sheep to his relationship with God. Uh-huh. You know, so all these physical things, marriage, you know, this is a physical reality, but it's pointing to something greater.
Right.
You know,
right.
David's out shepherding his sheep, but it's pointing to this reality. Wow, God is my shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking out for my good. And so, yeah, all these physical things are really pointing to a greater. And Romans talks about that as well. It says, you know, the creation itself is speaking of the existence of God.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, it's all meant to point to him mm-hmm. and the glory of who he is.
Yeah. And I'm even thinking about like the movies that are out there and you look at people are drawn to different types of movies in the world, and they're drawn to whatever it is, all the different, some of them are totally crazy. And then, you know, like everyone's got kind of a different drive. Like God put something different in each person's heart. And everyone is to be fascinated with him, but maybe, he has put a calling on your life that you're going to get fascinated with different things. Like some people are just totally fascinated with, you know, biology or something. And other people are like, I do not get why people would like that at all. I really like painting or, you know, whatever it is. And so all of that is God make like he built you with all of your desires, you know. And I love that verse that, you know, just praying that he would fulfill the desires of your heart. Well, that it would be his desires that are in there. Like he put desires in your heart,
right,
that you want to go after. And so what happens is we get distracted by this fake thing of movies and stuff. And what it does is it totally throws us off the path of what he has for us and gets us totally sidetracked.
It dulls our spiritual senses.
Exactly. To not even know what is he calling you to do. And so, and I know that in my life, that was a big thing, was I felt directionless. I felt like I couldn't hear the voice of God until I silenced all of these voices in my life. The only way I was even to silence those voices was when I started realizing how real God was and how much he's working in such a tangible way, and how big and how exciting life with God was. You know, it's like, yeah, it's so big. Like there's nothing better that you can do with your life than just lay it all down and give your all to God and what he wants to do with your life. That's the most exciting life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's necessarily all good and it's fun and games, but that is the most fulfilling life the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do with your life.
Yeah. And looking here at Psalm 101, I think this really points to something. David was captured by the glory of God. It wasn't that he was just saying, I'm not going to be looking at wicked things. He was full of desire to see God. And so it's not just like you mentioned earlier, Callie, it's not that you're just saying no to the world,
right?
But you're saying yes to God.
Right.
And you're experiencing the glory of who he is.
Yeah. And you'll never have the strength to say no to the world until you say yes to God, until you realize how awesome and exciting and how real God is.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I think that you can't, you're going to constantly feel like that, like beating yourself up.
Yeah. Why do I want to watch that? Or why?
Yeah. Like all I can think about is, you know, I just want to go watch this TV show or whatever.
Right.
Well, it's because you're not excited enough about what God's doing. So that's something to really press into.
Yeah.
God, please awaken the excitement in me to do your will, to know what you have for me in my life. What is it?
Yeah.
And he will answer that. He will answer that.
Right. Cry. He wants to see you flourish.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So looking at these scriptures, another Psalm of David. David had such a revelation of this. And this is why I just repeat, make it your prayer. God, whatever it was that grabbed David's heart, let that grip my heart as well. We look at Psalm 16. David says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. I love that word fullness there.
Yeah,
it's the highest level of joy is in God's presence. That's where we experience the height of joy. The world's, you know, running all different ways, seeking to find joy outside of his presence, but you won't find the fullness anywhere but his presence. And then it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David had a revelation that there were pleasures in the presence of God. And so you get a revelation of that, then you will devote time to seeking God, to spending time in prayer and worship, and you will seek to touch that realm that David touched, where he experienced pleasure in God's presence. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen automatically or happen, you know, just immediately, but this is something that when you give yourself to it, you give yourself to a lifestyle of prayer and worship, you will touch that realm.
Yeah.
And the same thing, the same Holy Spirit that touched David will touch you, and you will be, you'll be ruined for anything else.
Right,
you'll just be like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to give my life to.
I'm just thinking of like the world and how we get used to these quick fixes and these quick excitement things that are like, whoa, that was so fun, or that was so exciting. And then you have this like crash afterwards. Like that's the world.
A depression.
Yeah. Like like you feel like kind of yuck or you know, you just don't feel right. Empty. You feel empty. You know, that's what happens when you go and you see these really exciting movies. And then all of a sudden there's like a crash. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say like this pleasures forevermore and this fullness of joy. This is not a quick fix thing. This is not I just prayed for 10 minutes and I didn't get nearly the high that I got when I watched that movie last night. I'm just going to go back to watching the movie. Like this is lifelong commitment. This is the promise that comes with that. Mm-hmm. This doesn't come just at a quick fix. This isn't an emotional high. This is a submitting to God your life. And this is a firm foundation, something that's unmovable. It's fulfilling. It makes you feel whole. It's a lifelong commitment thing.
Yeah. You reminded me too of two characters in the Bible that I just really look up to. One of them, John the Beloved. He, from a young age, is committed to following God, loving God. And then God gives him this incredible revelation. I mean, I doubt there's anything that Hollywood could produce that would compare to what John the Beloved saw when he's on the island of Patmos, you know, the revelations. Right. I mean, nothing that Hollywood could produce could compare to the ecstasy that John experienced when he saw that. And so he's in his 80s. Suppose that he was in his 80s. And that's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to getting old. Yeah. I'm like, God, I want to be faithful to you. I just want to be, whether or not he gives me one of these, you know, ecstasy type of experiences of his glory. But I just look at that and go, wow. You know, from a young age, we know that John was committed. And then God gave him, he entrusted this revelation of himself. And then also Daniel, the same thing. We know that he was committed from a young age. We read in the book of Daniel that he was, you know, saying no to the Babylonian delicacies, and God entrusted him in his 80s. Same thing. In his 80s, God says, all right, Daniel, you've been faithful to me. I'm going to give you a mighty revelation of my glory. He sees a stream of fire coming out from the throne of God. And for me, you know what? It's going to be just like that. I'm going to be 80 years old. And I want to have lived a life that God could entrust to me the secrets of his heart. Revelations of his glory.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to encourage you as well.
Yeah.
Don't live for the flighting pleasures of this world, just the fleeting pleasures. Live for something so much greater. You know, we've got an eternity to look forward to. And we want to live a life we're not going to be ashamed or have regret when we get into that eternal place. The way we don't want to have regret of how we live this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the world wants to say. You make a decision based on the now.
Right.
Like whatever is going to make you feel good right now, that's how you make your decisions. And God's way is totally, he's saying, no, this is, you make decisions right now that are going to affect eternity,
right,
that are going to affect the rest of your life here, your life afterwards. Like every decision that you make, think with the mindset of eternity. I'm making an impact on generations. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm going to make the decisions in my life.
It's almost like the law of gravity. It's the law of reaping and sowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sow one thing, you're going to reap that seed. Mm-hmm. You know, Tali and I love farming. We love gardening. You don't plant a corn seed in the ground and get zucchini. It just doesn't happen. You know?
Right. So
you plant a seed, you plant a good seed, you can expect a good crop.
Yeah. I actually love the whole farming thing too, because it does teach you patience, because you plant these seeds.
Right.
And you have to wait for like months before you start getting fruit from it. And you have to it's just kind of funny. Like, cause for me, I grew up much more not in the farming world as Braden. And it is the hardest thing for me when we're planting these seeds in like March or April inside. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, 3 months is going to be forever.
Right.
Till 4 months or whatever it's going to be. Or even having a baby, like you get pregnant, you got to wait 9 whole months. It's so good for us. These things, like they're things that like teach us patience. They teach us how things grow, how you plant things and it grows. And, and it's such a, it's a good lesson for us.
Yeah. And we want that living word of God in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Gospel of Mark is talking about the parable of the sower. It says this word is, the seed is the word.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sow that seed of the word into our hearts, then it comes alive. You know, the seed can sit, you know, we keep our seed in our freezer. It can sit in that freezer and it's not going to do anything. There's life inside of it, just like there's life in the Bible. There's life in the Word of God. But until you plant it,
it's dormant.
Until you plant it, it's dormant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So we want to be full of life and full of the joy of the Lord as we just commit ourselves to a lifelong pursuit of Him. And I love John 17. It says, "This is eternal life, to know You." Mm-hmm. And that's got to be the driving force, the thing that is just fills our heart with joy and passion, is to know Him. Mm-hmm. You know, this is eternal life. We don't have to wait until we die to experience eternal life. We can have eternal life right now. Mm-hmm. In this life, we can know Him. Yeshua modeled what it means to walk in intimate relationship with the Father. Mm-hmm. And He had that eternal life in Him, and He desires us to walk in that same eternal life.
Yep.
So moving along with Psalm 27, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." This is a all-consuming desire. "One thing I've desired." He doesn't say, you know, there's a couple things I really want from God. He says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek." I'm going to give myself to seeking this, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. He wants to be in God's presence all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is the one thing he desires. David had a vision of seeing God's beauty. He saw God as beautiful. What's an amazing thing? We sing songs about the beauty of God, but my heart's prayer is that it's a living revelation inside of me that God is beautiful.
Yeah.
And Moses prayed, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And so Moses also had a revelation that God is beautiful and that he can impart his beauty to us. And have you seen that? You know, you see believers, it's like, wow. They have the beauty of God upon them.
Uh-huh.
And it's a glorious thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's such an opposite. I just keep on thinking of all the, it's such an opposite thing of the Hollywood, right? Uh-huh. Like the Hollywood, they're totally focused on outward beauty.
Right.
Like, this is a beautiful person. Well, their lives are a wreck.
Uh-huh.
You know, they,
on the inside,
you know,
they're falling apart.
Yeah. I mean, and you know,
suicidal,
right?
Randy Stonehill, he had a song. He said, "All our superstars are suicidal casualties."
Right. Yeah, which, I mean, it's sad. Like, we're laughing at it, you know, just because the whole world is kind of bought into this. But this is, we're talking about real people, you know? And this is, but this is what, you know, the world's kind of bought into, this kind of, but man, like, there's such a beauty in a person who has invested their life in beholding the beauty of God. They carry the beauty of God. Mm-hmm. And man, you're going to miss that if all you're looking for is the Hollywood stuff out there, you know?
Right.
You're going to miss all that. So.
Yes. So then let's look at another scripture here in Isaiah. This is a powerful scripture, Isaiah 33, verse 15. It says, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking at evil. He will dwell in the heights. His place of defense will be the fortresses of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will behold the King in his beauty." So just look back at this here. So not hearing of bloodshed and not looking at, he says, he shuts his eyes from looking on evil. Now, Tal, you've watched more movies than I have, but is one of the things that they like to put on movies evil? Is like, did you ever just watch a movie that they just, all they wanted to portray was the goodness of life? And does that, are those very popular movies?
Yeah. No, not as much. I mean, they do have some out there.
There's a few, but this predominantly is, no.
Predominantly it's, yeah, it's a lot of, you're seeing a lot of
bloodshed,
a lot of
immorality.
Yeah. A lot of a bad guy
lying
in the, yeah.
So this verse here is very clear. Is that you want to shut your eyes from looking on evil. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, if you know, just make that declaration. I'm not going to just stare at evil. I'm not going to be consumed with evil. Mm-hmm. And this is the reward. Your eyes will behold the King in his beauty. And to me, that reward is so great. And we've got to have a vision. We have need to have a greater vision for that reward so that we say we can more easily say no to the entertainment, to the entertainment world.
Yep.
To behold the King in his beauty. This should be our prayer. God, open my eyes. Grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I want to know you. I want to behold your beauty. Mm-hmm. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the place of worship. Mm-hmm. We worship God and we're being transformed by mm-hmm. beholding his glory. And I know that can sound maybe like far off, but this is what we're called to. Mm-hmm. We were called to worship him and, you know, feeling or no feeling, we are called to worship him. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for those times when he does share his presence, share his beauty with us. Mm-hmm. But there's a transformation that takes place in our hearts mm-hmm. when we do that, when we behold him and then we're transformed. It says transformed into the same image. We're being transformed into his likeness from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And what a glorious future that mm-hmm. is to have that hope of being transformed into his glory.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is so important in our topic that we have here, because we're talking about marriage and we're talking about trusting in God and we're talking about how to prepare yourself. And I think a lot of people have looked at, it's a big question growing up. You're looking and you're just like, how am I going to know the right one? And that's why everyone kind of goes back to the whole dating thing. Well, I got to just test them. I got to mm-hmm. just, you know, interview them, try it out for a while. And so because there's not a lot of confidence that God's going to speak, that God's going to lead and guide you. And I think that is the result of us allowing these influences into our lives, us accepting normal cultural things into our lives that are separating us, that are keeping us from beholding the beauty of God, that are, it's going to be really hard to hear the voice of God in your life if you've got all of these other distracting voices. If you're saying, God, I want to do your will, but I'm going to watch on TV all these other people that are totally wicked, that are doing horrible, sinful things that you hate, abominations. I'm going to put that before my eyes. But God, please, I want to know your will. It doesn't go together. Mm-hmm. And so, if you're struggling and feeling just far from God and far from his will, you're feeling directionless, I would just encourage you, look at your life, see if there's distracting voices, and fast. Do a fast. See, and you know, don't make any vows or lifelong commitments or anything like that. But like, do a fast and see what happens. You know, say, you know what, I'm going to take the next month and I'm not going to, whatever it is, watch any movies, watch any TV, listen to secular music, even be on my phone. You know, I'm feeling like I need to get on a little fast from my phone sometimes, because it's not watching movies or anything on it, but oh man, it just can be such a distraction, just keeping you from engaging in what God has for you in this moment right now, with my children and my family and stuff. And so, it's something that all of us, need to really keep in check, is what we're allowing into our lives, what we're spending our time doing. And I just really want to encourage you that it is not as tricky as what it sounds like out there. Christianity has made it sound super like, what's it called?
Mystical.
Yeah. Like the whole hearing the voice of God, like it's some crazy out there and you have to really attain some sort of a, you know, crazy thing. And it's God speaks to you and he leads you and he directs you as you submit yourself to him. And as you, because he's leading you and guiding you all of your life, he's giving you these little nudges of lay that down or go this way. And I ignored those nudges so much growing up. There were things that I knew that little nudges that I know I totally ignored. And it wasn't until I got nudges as a 22-year-old that I started realizing, wow, God is going to speak to me and he is speaking to me. And I felt the presence of God in my life, that he was leading and directing me. And it wasn't some like big booming voice from heaven or anything like that. It's that little nudges. And when you say yes, I'm going to obey those little nudges, then he nudges you again. And there's such fulfillment and beauty in that pathway, mm-hmm. As you just listen to that. So that's what we're going to encourage you in, is to just really seek God. It is so worth the reward is so great. His beauty is it's incredible and everlasting and so much bigger than anything that Hollywood has to offer. So so we're gonna sign off. We will continue again next week. So blessings to you all.